citizens come to me and tell me that something didn't seem right. Something didn't seem right in our local city council elections. Something didn't seem right in our county from years ago to the 2020 election. And they wanted answers.
Another voter contacted the office after learning from the state's ballot tracking system that their ballot had been turned in by someone else. Election officials began comparing signatures and noted some of them appeared to be signed by the same person. They launched an investigation, but not before three of the stolen ballots had already been counted. Those ballots cannot be retrieved, and the votes will count, but the three voters will receive new ballots.
This shows the resiliency of our process here in Colorado, that if somebody tries to do nefarious things, it will be discovered through our processes.
And I said, you know what? If there's a there, we'll find it. And I've made that pledge to the citizens of Mesa County and all over Colorado that the people elected me. Not the Secretary of State.
Passwords for Colorado's voting systems were posted online for anyone to see for months, if you knew where to look. Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold's office apparently posted them online by accident. Griswold's office found out last Thursday and had not told the county clerks who actually run elections. Then the Colorado Republican Party went public today, demanding that Griswold secure those voting machines.
And it sounds like what you're saying is the only people investigating the actions of your office are your office, unless I'm mistaken. Is there an outside agency that is investigating what happened in your office?
We unfortunately had a civil servant upload a spreadsheet with some passwords to voting equipment. That is not the passwords needed to access the voting equipment. You need two sets of passwords. That is the full extent of it. We disclosed that immediately to federal agency CISA that has oversight of the nation's elections, and we've been working with them.
Those BIOS passwords, 670 of them, from 63 counties out of the 64 counties in Colorado, have been on the public website for the Secretary of State, which means they were out there for anybody to grab. She should be locked up. And they should throw away the key and let me loose.
Yeah, we need a prisoner swap.
Tina Peters, former Mesa County clerk in Colorado, was convicted in 2024 on 7 counts, including felony charges for allowing unauthorized imaging of Dominion voting machines in 2021. She argued that her actions were intended to preserve election records before a state-mandated software update that would have erased them. Believing this was her duty to ensure transparency amid public concerns about the 2020 election, Peters acted without criminal intent and argued that the imaging did in fact reveal potential vulnerabilities in the voting system. She was then sentenced to 9 years in prison, a term that is clearly cruel and unusual and a violation of her Eighth Amendment rights, as her offense sought no personal gain. Federal prosecutors from the U.S. Department of Justice under the Trump administration filed a statement of interest in her federal habeas corpus petition, expressing reasonable concerns about the state trial judge's repeated inflammatory remarks.
You are no hero, you abused your position, and you're a charlatan who used and is still using your prior position in office to peddle a snake oil that's been proven to be junk time and time again. Your lies are well documented, and these convictions are serious.
President Trump has called her a political prisoner and demanded her release.
The Deputy Attorney General in the federal government is working, Todd Blanche, is asked the Bureau of Prisons to find any way they can legally to move Tina Peters out of Colorado State Prison and into federal prison. Now, that could signal several things. One, they're worried about her safety. Two, that she might become a witness in some future federal investigation. Therefore, having her in federal custody would be a part.
Peters remains incarcerated in a Colorado prison and housed among violent offenders despite being 70. She is reportedly in poor health after she previously underwent treatment for lung cancer, resulting in the partial removal of one of her lungs, which has left her with chronic respiratory vulnerabilities. Free Tina Peters today. Releasing her pending full review would correct a miscarriage of justice, protect whistleblower-like conduct by election officials, and help to restore public confidence in
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Patrick Byrne. Thanks so much for being here with us, Patrick.
Harrison Smith, I know I've made the big time now that I've been on several times with this Jones fellow, but now I've really made the big time.
Oh, yeah. This is the center circle of the circus, I guess. We're the ringleaders here.
Love it.
I was just going a little bit crazy on Trump's failure to, you know, do anything about the sedition that's being advertised by the Democrats. I'm a little bit frustrated. Can you help explain this to me? Why are we not seeing more action from the Trump DOJ?
Well, the DOJ, to some degree, it's better than the first term where they were actively, you just had like communists trying to block everything. Now there are people who want to go along, but they're afraid that if they do, the word is that the Democrats are saying anyone who helps Trump and goes along will be hung for treason when we get power again. So there are literally people who are Trumplicans, moderate Trumplicans, but they're so afraid that they're of actually doing things. But at the top, the real problem is there's a fellow named Todd Blanche. And I have this from multiple authorities from every direction. And he may be a fine gentleman. I don't mean to personally disparage him. But he's a lifelong Democrat until January of last year. He defended President Trump in that New York case. I think it was the counts about the real estate and the loan that no one.
Letitia James.
Yeah,
case. Yeah.
That no one can even really explain what the crime is.
Right. Right.
That was their crime, and he lost. So he's batting zero. But President Trump liked that. But he did. And I don't know. I'm not qualified to say. But he didn't do a bad job, they say. So he's the President Trump. And if I had, I would rate President Trump on my Alex always won my scorecard a 95%. And then 5% is he sometimes makes these choices that make no sense. And this fellow has been blocking from the beginning. I've from multiple sources. President Trump authorized setting up like initially a super group to dig into certain things. It hung around waiting 4 months to get financing. It turned out, President Trump thought he had done the right things. He makes the right decision. He signs the right pieces of paper. He doesn't know that the deep state can change everything just by what they decide to fund, who they decide not to approve the transfer of until another 2 months go by. They can just logjam everything. So that finally got cut through. Tulsi got a lot more involved. But so Pam Bondi's not being, she's a fine state's attorney general, but she's not up. I hear she's living in Florida and takes a DOJ jet up to D.C. to appear at the Oval Office or the White House when there's an event. And then she goes home and that doesn't even go to the DOJ sometimes. So, and she's turned things. What happens when people get put into jobs that are, say, above their pay grade or above their experience level is sometimes the staff says, okay, we know, listen, we have this all under control. You just take it easy and you work on your golf game if you want. We have everything under control. And that's why nothing gets changed. And so it's an unforced error to some degree, and it could be corrected immediately.
Does he not realize that this is the case? Like, I genuinely don't understand this. Because, yeah, it does seem like it's the same thing as the first time around. Everything I've heard, Todd Blanche's name comes up. Pam Bondi is always, talked about just like how you did, just not really pulling her weight. But it almost reminds me of, like, what's happening with the Charlie Kirk assassination. And you have his head of security going, I texted the police saying I'm worried about the roof. And they said, we'll take care of it. What am I supposed to do? It's like, well, you're supposed to follow up. You're supposed to, I mean, the buck stops with you. It's not, to me, it's not a good excuse to say, well, I told them to do something and then they didn't. What am I supposed to do? It's like, fire them and put in somebody who will. I mean, we're running out of time, right?
He could say, Pam, I'd like you in my office on Monday morning at 10 a.m. with Tina Peters in hand. And absent that, I'd like your resignation. And Pam could get it done. If she really wanted to, she could get it done. There's a way it could be done like lickety-split. Just declare her a under federal as a witness in a federal prosecution under protection. The marshal shows up with that. They're committing a felony if they don't surrender. They do not get to litigate it. They don't get to talk to a justice. It's a felony if the warden doesn't surrender. So they can send in a marshal with 200 Marines for all I care. And you know, the president has the authority to, if he wants to, he can federalize the prison. Mm. All prisons in America, by law, he can federalize anyone he wants. So, I mean, those are extreme examples. But if the other side escalates, let's escalate higher. We got to get in this mood. The other side has escalated. We don't respond. Let's escalate whatever it takes. He could federalize the prison by law and just take her out and then turn it back over. But he's got people who are trying to do it in this mamby-pamby way.
Yeah. And it's not working. It's not getting done. I mean, I always...
She's dying. She's 7 years old. She's got in a fight over a honey bun. The prison is filled with Trinidad Aragua killers, you know.
Right.
And they know who she is. She knows, and she's 7 years old, and she got in a fight in a cafe line over a honey bun, I was told. And she's currently got lungs filling up. She had lung cancer, and she thinks she has it again. She's got lungs filling up with fluid. And the warden is like giving one aspirin per day or something crazy. They got one glass of water. They wouldn't give her another glass to take it with, and things like this, crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's brutal. And as far as I've seen, I've studied the case. I mean, they have nothing on it. I mean, there's no reason why she should even be in prison, let alone being treated the way she is.
Yeah, the cover up is the prosecution.
Right.
That's what we've learned that they do. Same with Stephanie Lambert and Matt DiPerno up in Michigan. When they have nothing else to do, and you have them dead to rights, they prosecute you on Kafka-esque charges worthy of a Kafka novel.
Right.
You know, what is Tina, the county recorder, whose job is to protect the records from corruption, protected the records from corruption, and contributed to saving the United States by doing so. And it's obscene, a year into this presidency, and Trump's people can't carry this out. This is a 24-hour task.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 24-hour task. It should be done sort of the instant that Trump decides it should be done. And I guess he's just not making that decision. And then when it comes to these, you know, five or six Democrat lawmakers making a video saying, don't obey your orders to the military, like, why is he tweeting out that they should be hung, but they aren't arrested? It's like, why aren't they arrested? Why is he tweeting about it but not doing it?
Because they did not explicitly say, I hate to be a Philadelphia lawyer about this, they did not explicitly say, do not obey any specific order. Their answer would be, look, what we're just reminding of, in general, the principle is, if you're an officer in the military, you do not obey unconstitutional or illegal orders. That's true. Obviously, what they're saying is Trump is taking a... See, what we're going through is a Bolshevik revolution, and Trump, to defeat it, has to do something muscular. And what they're going to do is paint anything he does that's the least bit muscular as, oh, this is an... You know, totalitarian, no, they're the extremists. We just have to keep reminding them they're the extremists. And so I have a response I just gave on Alex's show. And I mean it in the same perfectly legal way, a message to the enlisted and the young officers who report to any generals who decide not to follow President Trump's orders and when it's clear that they're the ones who are doing something illegal and unconstitutional and siding against the Constitution. And that is my advice is, in that situation, shoot them in the face. You can shoot them in the face and no one will care. And this is not meant to be a threat. I don't mean it. I mean it the same metaphysical sense that they meant that tape last night, what they meant, that if this happens, then do this. I'm not encouraging anyone right now to go shoot a general in the face. Just a general who takes any woke advice and disrupts the Constitution. Please shoot him in the face. The citizens will thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was reading the U.S. Code, and it doesn't give a lot of leeway. I mean, if you're encouraging people to question their orders, I mean— I think that's seditious behavior. I mean, you're encouraging them to even merely question them and put it through their own logic. Do you think this is legal? If not, don't obey. I mean, that is seditious as far as I can tell.
It's all by implication, though. It's all by implication. They're not saying there's no particular order. They're saying don't. They're getting him to question. But they would say, look, it's all implication. And this is just training officers. Get an officer school. If you were ever given an unlawful order, don't obey it. That's all correct. But, you know, we know what they really mean, but it's all by implication. They can't be prosecuted for that successfully.
I don't know. They could try, couldn't they? I mean, that's what I want to see. It's like, okay, let's say, you know, you arrest them, you charge them with sedition. They successfully defend themselves and are declared not guilty. At least you put them through it. At least you tried. At least you made them go to court. You put them in the handcuffs. You took the mugshot. Like, to say that they deserve hanging and then not even find them is worse than doing nothing at all, in my opinion. And again,
they probably
statute,
want him to do that. They probably want him to do that, knowing that they probably couldn't be convicted. They'd raise, yeah, it doesn't matter if the legal bills are $10 million. They'd have it tomorrow morning through one of their, you know, through a Soros NGO or something. And so they probably want him to do just what you're saying. Because they want, it's all about now painting. They know that he's creating a more and more muscular response, and it's up to them to try to paint it like he's the totalitarian rather than he's the man responding to a totalitarian revolution.
But it seems like if the revolution is coming, which I believe it is, I think you're right. We are in the midst of a Bolshevik revolution. And I think we know the dates that they're planning. I mean, it's going to be May Day 2028, and they're you know, organizing that and deciding on that. And it seems like when you're faced with something like that, you can either do nothing and, you know, let them take over, or whatever you do has to be so muscular that it eliminates the threat, and it has to be so overwhelming that it doesn't matter the screeching that they make. They're in jail, so let them screech. Like what Trump, it seems like he's doing is he's always doing these half measures. He's always kind of stepping his toe in the muscular thing, and that just empowers them even more. So I think, like, I would so much prefer that these people were in handcuffs today, that we get to watch, you know, just like, you know, Roger Stone, we get to watch the FBI kick in their door at 5 a.m. and haul them away and charge them with something, even if they get away with it. I'd rather that than him tweeting about it, right?
The tweeting does look kind of weak and ineffective at this point. He should be above them. If it's bothering him enough that he's got to tweet about it, then maybe. But, you know, they probably want him to do something like that. It would just so help them enormously in painting him as, this is what all dictators do. They become so prickly that if you say anything, even questioning anything, he's having you arrested by jackboots in the middle of the night. And of course, but
I don't think he should be involved at all. I think the DOJ should just go and arrest them. And when he's asked about it, he can say, look, that was a decision made by the lawyers and they broke the law. So we arrest them. What are we going to do?
Oh, how about we investigate those people and who are they tied to and who are they funded? I bet it's a bunch of NGOs tied to Soros. Just call me Kreskin, but that's what it's going to turn out to be. Yeah, this is very much on the board. This is very much in the gray area. I agree it's very much in the gray area. They did it probably hoping he's going to prosecute, which helps them in their mission. They're out in 24 hours on bond, so because they own the judiciary as well. So they're out. They got all the money they need to fight it. They probably are rich off book deals immediately off it. And it helps them paint Trump as this evil, prickly dictator. So a lot of things like this backfire. We got to sort of remember they play information war, too. In fact, they play it primarily.
So what should he do? I mean, they make a video saying disobey orders, and they say unlawful. But again, reading the actual code, you're not allowed to disobey unlawful order. It has to be manifestly unlawful. It has to be like killing innocent people or raping prisoners. Like if it's not something like that, you know. And then the guy goes on, you know, they're asked like, what orders do you mean? And he starts saying, you know, things that he thinks that they should object to. And they're all in the code, things that you're not allowed to object to. When he's like, oh, you know, well, if he's ordering them to deploy to, you know, polling sites, that would be against the law. And in the code, it says you cannot object because of a soldier's subjective interpretation of civilian law. So it's like, so here he is saying, the guy who made the video says, here's what I mean. And he lists things that, you know, are in abject violation of the U.S. code. So I mean, what do you do if they're calling on soldiers to disobey?
Well, just let me know, none have. And my understanding is this could actually be a favor. What he should do is anyone who does, and let it be on something, it's a quick x-ray of who we need to get rid of in the military. and he's got the authority to do it, and he should just everyone. So if they start doing this, you know, once they start doing this over the orders he's given that are clearly within his powers, like, you know, the ICE powers within the United States, if they start acting that way, then there's actual crimes being committed, like specific crimes that can be, for which they can be arrested. So this may actually help us. If people go along with it, it lets us find the. I'm told that there are Obamaite social justice warriors across the federal bureaucracy, especially the DOJ, but across the federal bureaucracy. There's all these people who got in by being. They got in and rose to the top not by being good at whatever that department was, but they got in because, you know, they went to Brown. Their dad gave a political donation. They got some appointment as a third deputy under assistant or something. And then they burrowed in, and there's this. It was in all American history was this. There was a taboo of being taking a political appointment over the bureaucracy and then taking a job within. But about 30 years ago, that taboo got broken, and now there's this whole couple thousand people who have burrowed in. It's called ram specking your way in, and they got to the top not by being very good within that department, but because they're political appointees and they're weenies. Not all of them. I've met one or two that I in my life that I think were fine, and but in general, I think there's a bunch of those guys and men and women, and they're like in the Department of Labor, and they get into the groups that are overseeing the unions and stuff like this, and they get in by hook or by crook, not by being good at anything in particular. That's the woke bureaucracy that has to leave. That'd be easy to find, and I think you should place them all with military men and women, retired or not. And rebuild the DOJ out of the JAG Corps and of people who understand the Constitution and haven't been polluted.
Well, we're kind of running out of time to do that, right? I mean, this is my frustration. I was just going off because, you know, he lists all of these accomplishments that he has. And, you know, the economy's doing better and he's got the tariffs going and, you know, the border is closed. And these things are nice. But, like, we've been invaded by 40 million people and the immigration is, you know, the deportations are not nearly high enough. And if he doesn't do enough to actually substantially damage the Democratic Party, then he's just building up a great economy to hand over to them so they can, you know, get rich while they throw us all in prison. So it's like, you know, what I was saying earlier is it's like you can give me all the stats about how far your quarterback can throw and how, you know, how many sacks you got this season. But if you never won a game, if you didn't put points on the board, it really none of the other stuff matters. Like, to me, the big thing is our country is being taken over. We are literally being put through a Bolshevik revolution that is sort of like point by point following the trajectory of the Bolshevik revolution and the 1918 German revolution. And so it's like that's the thing that we need movement on. And that's the one thing I'm not seeing any success on.
Yeah. Well, I'm distressed as you are there. I know that they're working in that direction. I know they have a lot. I'm sure you've heard about there's a lot of things going on where there's now the upper reaches of government know that we were correct all along. And I've said this publicly many times now. There's 72 nations have had their elections manipulated out of Venezuela. We now have the people who took part. We've got everything. And Uncle Sam has digested them. And it's probably so much fruit they don't know where to begin picking. But, you know, there have been indictments. They indicted Smartmatic. That's, I think, the first in a chain of people to be indicted. And remember, there's already people that have been picked up. There's a Venezuelan Cuban spy that was picked up named Manuel Rocha, who got 15 years. Unfortunately, they're treating this like it's a normal espionage or counter-espionage endeavor, and it isn't. This is World War III. We're in World War III, and the president, does drive me crazy. He's got all kinds of powers. What General Flynn has let me know and that I've seen and that I saw up close in that somewhat notorious meeting of December 2020 was his people don't advise him about, he doesn't fully understand the range of powers he has, and they don't let him know. And that was happening then. You know, right now there's this discussion about, like, could he use National Guard or something, the polling stations. Well, Barack Obama signed an executive order. He could just take that executive order and dust it off and re-sign it and use Barack Obama's language and just do all the things that need. Barack Obama signed an executive order that if a president finds there's foreign interference in, and there has been foreign interference, he can do anything. He can do You know, he can rerun an election. He can cancel it. He can rerun it. He can order an investigation.
That's interesting. So is that based on the Russia collusion hoax?
Well, in 2015, Obama signed an executive order that gave him all that power, which is why in 2020, General Flynn and I were in his office. Do you know about that weird meeting that occurred that we kind of snuck in?
I don't recall that. No.
If you get a chance,
give
watch
the story. Yeah.
No, it's in the movie The Enemy Within. But we got him anyway. So we had this 4.5-hour meeting with the president, December 18th, 2020, where we had him talked into doing what needed to be done. But then his lawyers showed up, and his lawyers put the kibosh, and it became this 4-hour argument. But we thought we had won. Then we walked out, and Rudy Giuliani told him, if you do Burns' plan, we're all going to go to prison. But that plan was simply looking at Obama had said, if the president finds there's been foreign interference, the president can order this wide range of options, and the least important, the least intrusive of which was a quick investigation. So we were saying, Mr. President, and this is December 18th, 2020, here's these things the U.S. government has put out in the last 2 months about all these things getting hacked and how deeply this huge whirlwind of cyber hacking against us. And they've announced that all these companies were hacked, the CIA, the DHL, all these things. So based on that, why don't you just trigger that enough to order a quick investigation and go to, for example, in Georgia, there's 160,000 ballots in Georgia where there's, I think, a dozen affidavits that say the same basic thing, that they're mail-in ballots that were never folded. They're 93% for Biden, and every vote is filled in with a perfect little circle, like
right.
A computer did it. For 5 years, we've been fighting to get that, and no one can get it. The candidates can't get it. The state legislature couldn't get it. The judge ordered it to be given over, and now, I mean, they've tied it up for 5 years. So we always thought we had transparency because the laws said citizen, but it turns out that they knew that we were going to organize when we saw this fake election and do something about it, and they had it all prepared. What is it called? Something 65, Group 65 or something. Mm. Any lawyer who picked up a pen to help us found himself facing a disbarment.
Right.
And it was evil. It was evil. And so, I mean, they had to play. That's why these lawfare people, they don't really care about justice or anything. They just want the process is the punishment. They knew that as soon as we started to fight it, they could scare our lawyers off. And almost every lawyer in America was scared off.
See, that's the thing. I mean, it seems like the problem is so ubiquitous. The control mechanisms or the blackmail networks, I mean, whatever it is that keeps all this stuff in control, it's like, it's just not, it just doesn't make sense to keep playing by these rules that they get to ignore and that we have to adhere to. So, you know, I'm just looking forward in the future, and it's like the Republican Party is being destroyed. The economy is not working for normal people. They're going to go over to the socialists and the communists that are promising things to them. There's obviously this like color revolution going on. And, you know, Trump is bragging about whatever, tariffs or whatever. And it's like, dude, our whole country is under attack relentlessly from every different direction. And we're still letting, you know, judges block things.
Yeah, well, I think he should use the military. I think that he should be using the military in all kinds of ways. He's got power to our court system, which clearly see the state level how corrupt it is. I'm sure you saw followed the shenanigans in Arizona the last 5 years.
Well, yeah.
Turns out no one has any right, any standing to question anything. The candidate doesn't before the election, doesn't during the election, doesn't after the election. The citizens don't, the citizens groups don't. No one has any right to look into anything the bureaucrats said. That's what it took 5 years and millions of dollars of court fees to find out. In Georgia, in Atlanta, in Arizona, no one has the right to look into anything. So, and the first rule we teach overseas is an election without transparency has zero.
You have to assume it's fake because you can't actually prove it's not. More on the other side. Quick commercial break. Back with Patrick Byrne on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
So, you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the Alex Jones store.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gentlemen, this is The War Room, brought to you, of course, by InfoWars and TheAlexJonesStore.com. Right now on TheAlexJonesStore.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible ultramethylene blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the colostrum plus, the bovine colostrum plus, the Irish sea moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the ultramethylene blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on methylene blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in methylene blue. When it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, I run out, I will absolutely notice within a few days. My life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. It isn't something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like you just sort of It's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Yeah. So we're talking about just sort of the frustration, and I felt bad. I was sitting in the break. I'm like, I feel like I'm like grilling you or like yelling at you, but I'm just so frustrated with our lack of movement here. And I'm frustrated at the judges stepping in to stop it. We were just talking about this article. Trump administration agrees not to paint Eisenhower building before 2026. The Trump administration wanted to paint the Eisenhower executive building. It's a 137-year-old building. I guess a judge stepped in and told him that they can't. And it's just like, what are these judges doing? Why are they interfering everywhere?
It's become such an insult to the rule of law and the constitutional order. They're a bunch of snobs. The whole woke left worldview is that they're a bunch of snobs, and their decision-making should supply, and they're very much offended by, we have a president who believes in the constitutional order. So they just have decided to thwart him the most ridiculous ways at every turn. All of those judges should be impeached and gotten rid of. You know what? Our judiciary has really let us down. I don't know if it can be. That's why I'd rather actually, like, Trump turn the investigation. Trump has the authority to turn things over, even the investigations and the trials, over to military courts, which have not been captured.
But they're trying to, and of course that, you know, the vaccine mandate and stuff, and they purged the military, you know, under Biden for, you know, white supremacists, where they're like, if you have a Gadsden flag, you know, that symbol, you're a white supremacist. So, I mean, I think they recognize the threat of the military. Why do you think Trump is not doing that? Because, you know, I get that he wants to exhaust all of the civilian possibilities. I understand that he is trying really hard not to look like a tyrant, not to be a tyrant, and to do things by the book. But, like, at a certain point, we got to get this done. We got to just do stuff. And, is that point?
Well, it's when they cross the line, not when they talk about crossing the line, not when they giggle about crossing the line, when they actually disobey a freaking constitutional legal order. That's crossing the line. But that was bait for him to, I don't want him to fall for a trap like that. Believe me, they're going to cross the line. They're going to keep escalating.
Yeah.
And you know, what's totally fair to do is to go after, these people have crossed into terrorism at points, and it ties back to Soros. Go after Rico, go after him with Rico. And all the violence that they commit, just like I was just on Alex's show talking a lot about Israel. The Antifa of Israel is funded by not just George Soros, but our State Department. It was. It's Tony Blinken, those guys. The U.S. taxpayer was funding the Antifa. It's now called Kaplan Force or something. It used to be of Israel. I mean, these guys just want to overthrow all the countries and replace us with, you know, some global order.
Yeah, it's all globalism, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Trotskyism.
Yeah, and, you know, Soros is at the heart of everything. Like, I was kind of shocked when they came out with some Russiagate material early on, and it showed that, you know, a leader of the Soros group was, you know, one of the main kingpins, sort of helping to spread all the information around and coordinate everything. And it's like, here's this guy, George Soros. Is he even an American citizen? I don't even know. I mean, he wasn't born here. He's an immigrant. I don't even know if he lives here. Still, he probably lives on a yacht somewhere. But it's like, he has just been a menace. And to the point where, like, you know, my friends are dead because he put in a prosecutor that refuses to crack down on crime. Crime's out of control. Jamie White gets murdered in Austin. Like, that was a direct consequence of George Soros's activities here. And yet he's not arrested. He passes it down to his son. So that would be another thing. Yeah. Why aren't there RICO? Where are the RICO charges?
Yeah. All that could be done with an aggressive enough DOJ, or it could be done through the military in about a week.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, there's been such insolence, and I'm told that law schools have gotten so awful. Nobody actually learns anything. It's just like, you do what's fair. What you get out there as a lawyer, you do what's fair. You remember Biden was appointing these people to the federal judiciaries, the judiciary, that were just shocking in their trial. I remember one, I felt bad for him. He was so humiliated. This guy from Denver, a federal judge in Denver for 4 years, getting appointed to the federal district court. He may have been a state judge, but in a criminal court for 4 years. And they asked him, like, one of the senators, Kennedy or somebody, asked him some very basic question of criminal law, like,
it was a Brady violation. I remember that, yeah, because it's like, if you've ever watched a documentary about true crime, you probably know what a Brady violation is, and this guy didn't know.
Didn't know, and that's a judge who's been overseeing criminal cases for 4 years. Every person who ever went through their courtroom probably should get a mistrial.
Right.
It's just, you had a judge who didn't know anything. And it's, you know, they get taught crazy stuff in law schools.
if they even go to law school. Remember, it was the quote-unquote judge who let out the murderer of Irina Zarutska, and it was discovered she wasn't even a lawyer. She'd never even been to law school.
She got to college?
But she was a judge. I assume she went to college, but I don't even know. It's crazy. And yeah, that's what, if you go back and look at...
I might prefer if she hadn't gotten to college, actually.
she might be better, yeah. Well, what you go and you look at these judges, and it's like half of the judges or more, I think like 75% of the judges in D.C. are all foreign-born. They just like, they come over to America when they're 20. They get a job at an NGO, you know, helping to circumvent immigration law for 10 years. And then they become a judge. And it's like, these are literal activists. Like, people don't understand when you say activist judge, you literally mean they are professional activists who at some point Obama or Biden taps on the head, puts a robe on, and now they're a judge. But they're literal activists.
Yeah. They didn't become a judge to become an activist. They were activists who became
judges. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's impeaching them, I guess?
Well, remember that 200 of them got appointed by Biden's auto pen. So
right.
There's no evidence of any intent by, you know, as they reveal, and I hope that eventually, see, I think that what is warranted is muscular action, but President Trump should not lead it. Get the public so they are demanding the muscular action, which they would do if he would reveal. They would just reveal a whole bunch of stuff. I know that they now know for certain. And, you know, but the CIA is against it being revealed. They have been against this whole process. But I know now that the upper levels of government, everybody knows the truth about Venezuela and everything else. And once people really get it from official authorities, what has been put together, people will be demanding muscular action. I think this war is the most necessary war since the revolution and the Civil War. It's these people, they didn't just commit an act of war against us, Cuba, Venezuela. They committed an act of conquest. They conquered us. And they conquered us, installed a dope who opened the city gates, let in 10 to 20 million military age men. And the last November election was just putting the padlock on the dungeon door.
Right.
It was just about, that was it. It's a fluke. We got out of that with a lucky uppercut. That's never going to happen again. And we have to not forget what it is we now know, who emerged in our country. These crazy people emerged in our country in the last, you know, since 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you have a video of that. Guys, do we have that 33-second video?
Oh, yeah. This is a Venezuelan immigrant coming into the U.S. And why don't you read since it's in Spanish, why don't you read
the subtitles? Yeah, I'll read the subtitles. Crew, let's go to that video now. So this is a Venezuelan immigrant that was caught on video sort of bragging about what their intentions are. Let's watch. He says, let's back it up to the beginning. You know how we used to stand in line?
Back it up to the very beginning.
I think this might be the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, you know how we used to stand in line when we went to the grocery store back in the day? That's what these shelters are like now, bro. I guess the starvation. As if they had some chicken or some stuff like that. They're packed full of Venezuelans, full of gangsters just like me, with an honest face like me. Look, that's the ones you will catch on the subway and psht. And you're done, out cold. Fall asleep and find out. In just 2 years, the U.S. will be finished, formerly known as... So he's basically like, we're the ones that'll slit your throat on the subway. That's the car coming up. You heard, straight killers.
That's it.
Yeah, and I just...
That kind of is...
not the first thing I've seen like that, right?
Yeah. That was done on purpose. And, you know, Maduro came out and said, I'll give... When Trump came to power, said, look, we were told to do this. Biden sent his FBI to meet us in Panama. We met him in Panama. We have all the records, which means I think they taped it or videotaped it, which is the kind of thing they do. We have all the records. We'd love to bring it to you, President Trump, and show you. Biden told us to do that. So this was an inside-outside strategy. The revolutionaries were inside the government. They got to the point they took it over. They knew they didn't have the domestic muscle. Their barista latte boys were up to the... So they needed to bowl 10 to 20 million of them in.
Wow. Well, and they literally did. I mean, it was... it was to the point where they were sending planes down to South American countries to pick people up to fly them in. I mean, it was outrageous.
Rapists, killers.
Right.
In Venezuela, 5,500 rapist killers in Pakistan. Every rapist was let out of prison and got a ticket to Panama. And that's how you got to Panama, and then it got into this train. And it's not, 10 to 20 million came. It's not 10 to 20 million killers, but I bet 250,000 to 500,000 are guys like that.
Enough to warrant severe action, very, very, intense action. And then you've got legal immigration being such a big issue. I don't know if you've seen this story. It's been revealed that Somalians in Minnesota have been using fraudulent autism Medicare claims to fund the Somali terror group Al-Shabaab, with claims rising from $3 million in 2018 to $399 million in 2023, effectively making Minnesota taxpayers the group's largest funders. So the Muslims, the Somalis in Minnesota figured out, you can just say your kid's autistic and the government will send you money, and then they can just forward that money to the terrorists in Somalia. So they're literally just funneling American taxpayer money to the terrorists overseas. And it's like, we invited these people in and have given them homes, and this is how they repay us.
It's worked out poorly.
That's what my point.
You did with any guests who have overstayed their welcome. Certainly, if you catch them pilfering the spoons,
right?
It's time to get rid of them. So everybody, and it turns out half of them cheated on their immigration.
Right.
Everyone who cheated this is not a normal time. This is a world like World War II, where we have to stand up and get strict and severe about things. We're being overthrown. We could easily defeat it. We could easily still defeat it. If we got organized, I tell you, doing Venezuela, overthrowing Venezuela, and getting the rightful president of Venezuela sitting in the Oval Office down there, or President's Palace down there, would eliminate a lot of evil in this hemisphere. Because it turns out that a lot of evil is actually derivative of the Cuba-Venezuela juncture. That's what Americans need to get, that they've had trouble grokking. That we laugh at the idea that Cuba and Venezuela could do anything. They're these banana republics. How could they hurt us? Their armies may be banana republic armies, but they're pros on espionage and subversion. They are pros. I mean, they come from the Soviet Union. They're derivative, and China's really the Venezuelan paymaster now. So the point is, they're very, very sophisticated and good, and Cuba's very good on intelligence. And they have we know that there's about 20 spies. We know of 20 spies penetrated in the government that from Cuba. And one of them has been arrested, but there's lots more that need to be arrested.
Why wouldn't they arrest them if they know they're there? Yeah.
Their standard of what they can arrest somebody for is maybe, we may have had conversations. I may have had conversations out of the country with people about somebody that they've not yet had that conversation. Anyway, we know a whole pack of people. It's going to come out. There's a whole pack of people that sort of cross paths with each other in different places in Latin America within our government who are evil.
Yeah, well, it seems like they'd be stupid not to. I mean, it's like the Chinese sending over 10,000 people. It's like, if I was China, I'd be sending people over too. Oh, my number one geopolitical enemy has open borders and doesn't check who's coming in. Great. Send 10,000 of our, best undercover agents. Go over there and you see them standing, sort of at attention, looking like military guys being welcomed into our country. So it's like, of course, if they open up the borders, if I was Venezuela, I don't want to pay for a bunch of rapists and murderers in my prison. Ship them to the U.S. They'll take care of them.
They weaponize it. In the 30s, it turns out that in that whole, there was a communist ring that was in the U.S. government claimed, and that was, the whole Alger Hiss and Whitaker Chamber stuff. Well, what came out, there was in particular one branch of the Communist Party who's in the U.S., whose mission was to infiltrate the government. And the leader was a guy named Peter Ware, and it was called the Ware Group, W-A-R-E, Peter Ware. Well, it turns out Joe Biden, if you look at the lists of these these non-government addresses that Hillary and Obama, it turns out they all have been doing this. Joe Biden has used the address Peter Ware, something or other.
Oh, wow.
He made a reference to him. That's his alter ego, the communist, the name, the leader of the communist infiltration of the government in the 30s.
Wow.
Peter Ware.
Yeah, and it sort of goes back that far, right? I mean, we're sort of dealing with the same type of infiltration that we've been dealing with since, the communism came about in the early 1900s. We're sort of stuck in this. I guess we need a new McCarthy, hearing or of some sort.
Well, it's going to be all proven true. I mean, it's all over, but whatever the repercussions are. But the investigation phase, as far as I'm done, there's all, you know, people could be, a grand jury could get active anytime they want. You know, that maybe, I understand that in Florida, there's a grand jury being impaneled that has to do, that started, there needs to be somebody, needs to be, we have to start treating this. There was a point when we tried to fight terrorism with a bunch of different units. Like, it was a legal problem, it was a defense problem, it's a, the State Department had its public relations, all that stuff. And then eventually they started treating it as one unified counterterrorism problem. And there was the evolution of the National Counterterrorism Center. We have to understand we are in a Bolshevik revolution, and there needs to be a group of people within the government who understand that and know, you know, what Trotsky and neo-Trotskyite are, and understand the techniques of this kind of movement warfare, and have access to, and you know, that's the kind of way Trump came in, trying to establish things like this, and he really for a long time got defeated by the deep state. That is all, that kind of stuff has all finally occurred. I won't say anymore, but all the right things are happening, but it took 7 months longer than it needed, 6 months longer than it needed to.
Well, it seems like that'd be the right thing to do, because you're talking about all these holdovers and sort of the legacy systems Trump has to deal with. It seems like the best thing to do would be, yeah, create a whole new branch of government, have create a whole new, you know, operation. Say this is the counter-Marxist, you know, bureau or whatever it is, and just staff it from the beginning with your people. That'd be a way to get around it, right?
You know, there's supposed to be something doing that as part of the FBI. If you look on the FBI website, we think of the FBI as fighting kidnapping and bank robbers and such. That's actually priority number three. If you see on their website, priority number one is stopping weapons of mass destruction. Priority number two is addressing counter-espionage.
Right.
Counterintelligence, counter-espionage, subversion and foreign spies and traitors within our own country. That and number three is like getting bank robbers and kidnappers. The part of the FBI that does that is that I think they actually call it the dark FBI and the light FBI, or maybe the white and the black, but it's like black and a black ops type. I think like about 2/3 of the FBI is actually that underwater part that, and that's the men in black. And they're completely inert at this point because, for example, I've said this on Alex. I've told this story on Alex. We know that during 2020, there were, and 2019, there were Zoom calls, but they would have a typical Zoom call, say 400 Antifa and BLM protest chapter leaders, cell leaders, and 30 feds, 30 active federal employees on the call, lawyers within the Department of Labor, hardcore lefties giving instructions on how to run the color revolution, teaching them, coordinating them, giving them the plan. Clearly stepping into those people could oddly, absolutely, they could be arrested for sedition but here's the thing. We've had hundreds of hours of those tapes, and we've had time in the last 4 years, somebody I'm associated with has spent 4 years digging through, and the people that could not be identified were identified. There were always ways to identify them, even when about half of them were anonymous, half of them were not. But even the ones who were anonymous, they eventually leaned into the light, and you get a good picture of the face, and there's facial recognition software, boom, 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 your Facebook. They can be identified. 1,000 of them got identified. They're within the government now. Within the government, I've never actually, not even with Alex, made this public, but within the government, there are 1,000 people today who, during that era, they were taking part in those calls. Their LinkedIns and profiles all still show they're scattered through the government. That could be turned over. The FBI has been forbidden to accept that information. Has to be forbidden to meet with me. Todd Blanche had put... So you don't have a copy of my book around, do you?
No, it must be back in the Jones studio.
I don't want to go with my book. General Flynn called me the day after the Durham report was delivered, and he called me at 7:01, and he said, "Patrick, this is a cover-up. I read it all night. It's a cover-up. Time for you to tell your life story." So I wrote this book, and it explains a bunch of dirty secrets of the state. And they wanted that to stay. So anyway, this a whole lot of this isn't a theory for me. I was part of it. I was part of this. I didn't understand what I was part of in 2015, 2016, 2017. But I was part of setting up the Rushing Oaks. I was part of the Hillary investigation. Anyway, I'm bouncing around. But
but that's – so 1,000 or more yeah. than 1,000.
Yeah, they will not – since they can't, since they got in power, Todd Blanche and the intelligence – probably Radcliffe, says no one can meet. There's an agent in the government called an 1811 agent. It's DHS or FBI. That means they are qualified legally to take evidence and create a chain of evidence for prosecution. Mm. They're forbidden. We got around it. We found some ways to get around it some months ago, which was helpful. But even that specific information, no one's allowed to meet with and accept. And there's 1,000, and these people in the Zoom calls, they identify themselves as infiltrators. It's really weird. They wear the language openly. There's so much more to add. They use in these what Zoom calls they thought were private. We got infiltrated, that or friends of mine got infiltrated. They use language of like my name is Jody Kay, and I have infiltrated the Department of Agriculture. My name is Bob. Jay, I've infiltrated one of the intelligence departments. That's how they speak of it. And what's also interesting is not only are there usually 30 or so deep state actors in each of these calls, there are occasionally Israeli deep state show up in these calls, the Ehud Barak crowd, who are all color revolutionaries too, total communists. And that's actually, and I would even say in some of the calls, I would say there's a little bit of deference shown from the American deep state to the Israeli deep state, which I know suggests some kind of modernized version of protocols of the Elders of Zion or something. But the Israeli deep state, I wouldn't go so far as to say they were calling the shots, but it's almost like they were the bigger brother in the conversation to the American deep state in these Zoom calls. And by the way, we have it all taped.
Wow.
They cannot accept this evidence. The counterintelligence division of the FBI should be all over this like Rosie O'Donnell on a biscuit. They cannot accept this. Well, I have so much dirt. Now, some of it we've managed to get in because we've gotten around these blocks that Todd Blanche, the intelligence community, has created. But there's still this active element working against all this getting exposed.
Right. Can you just release the info, or are you trying to save it to get the arrest? Like,
that would be really heavy duty.
Yeah.
That would be really heavy. I mean,
might light a fire under their butts.
Clips. That's probably the way to go. That's probably what I should do. Some things I should just start putting up on Twitter.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, hey, either you take care of this or we have to. I mean,
I don't want to, though. It's just going to make people so mad.
maybe we should be mad. Well, man, I'm glad to talk to you and sort of get a peek, because it's like, you know, I always describe it like we're watching like a fight underwater or something. And sometimes bubbles come up and you go, I think I see a whale and a shark down there, but you can't quite tell. Sometimes sometimes it breaks the surface and we see, oh, it is an orca whale, actually. So we're actually getting some little taste of the real shadow warfare going on behind the scenes. And this is your book here, Danger Close, by Patrick Byrne. Domestic Extremist Number One Comes Clean, with the preface by Maria Butina and a foreword by General Michael Flynn. You can get that on Amazon or anywhere fine books are sold. Patrick, thank you so much for being here with us. I wish we had more time.
We're always running
out of time. Thank you very much, sir.
Look forward to seeing you again, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Vish Burra in the next hour. Still a lot more news to cover, a lot more breaking bombshells still to deliver. Make sure you're supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com, and we'll be right back on the other side after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But so I'm going to stick on that. And
I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.